according to his promise. We are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our growth comes through the scriptures. This is day 127 in our Through the Bible reading calendar. Day 127, we're going to be covering 1 Chronicles chapter 23, 24, and 25. So just three chapters out of 1 Chronicles. And not a lot, actually. I was looking at the outline and looking at the material, and I can't imagine that it's going to take the entirety of the hour to work our way through this, so we'll just see what the Lord provides. If we get done and we've got some extra time on our hands, we can do some Q&A, or we can do some Logos demonstration, or I need to resolve a couple of things I demonstrated the other night that apparently sparked more questions than answers, so I'll try to follow up with that as well. Before we do anything, though, let's take a moment for silent prayer, calling upon our Father and his faithfulness to bless our time of study. Shall we pray? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, thankful for grace and truth, rejoicing in the privilege and blessing that we have to assemble together. Thank you, Father, for this study. Thank you for bringing us 127 days into it. And as always, Father, we're calling upon you and your faithfulness to bless our time in the truth. Open our eyes, open our ears, and soften our hearts. I thank you, Father, that the truth is the truth, and we have the absolute standard of your word. I just give you the praise and the glory, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's crazy to me that we have such a loosey-goosey definition of truth that government bureaucracy can be formulated that can call themselves the Ministry of Truth. It sounds like right out of George Orwell or something insane, you know, like have we collectively lost our minds? What's going on? Why don't we start a department of gravity while we're at it? You know, I mean, it is what it is, you know, whether we say it is or not, it is what it is. Problem is you have these powers that be that want to control what they define to be the truth because they say so. And if you disagree with them, then you face the consequences. Anyway, I'm going to let that go for tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, let's get into it here. When Solomon reached old age, I'm sorry, when David reached old age, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. Now, this is a little bit of a preview of where we're going to be Sunday morning. Some of the chapter reading kind of overlaps a little bit, the way that Rhodes has structured the Chronicles reading to try to encompass the totality of David's life. And then he goes back and actually shows the transition between David and Solomon, which, like I say, we'll be dealing with that on Sunday morning. So he made his son Solomon king over Israel, and he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. And the Levites were numbered from 30 years old and upward, and their number by census of men was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to oversee the work of the house of the Lord, 6,000 were officers and judges, and 4,000 were gatekeepers, 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. It's curious that David is described here as being a manufacturer of instruments. And whether that means he invented some new ones or he just maybe he took some already existing musical instrument designs and produced local copies of his own, whatever the case may be. David divided them into divisions according to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So this is what we're looking at here tonight. We're going to have a lot more to say about these instruments as we get into the Psalms. We got almost two full weeks of Psalms coming up. And many of the prescripts of the Psalms have musical annotations. Some of them are set to particular styles of music or particular tunes, as the case may be, or particular instruments that are employed in the musicality of the various Psalms. And while we know what we can read the words, we're not entirely certain what the words mean, and there's a lot of guesswork even among the rabbis to this day. Some of it is just absolutely mysterious, and we just take it by faith and trust that it is what it is. All right, so in the outline, David crowned Solomon as the reigning king during the final days of David's life. Typically, this is thought of as a co-regency, and sometimes it's more than a few days. Sometimes it could be actually years that an older king will just go ahead and promote his heir apparent, go ahead and promote the crown prince to where he can be a co-regent. He can reign while his father's still alive. And I think in the case of David and Solomon, it was not a lengthy period of time that took place. We're going to see Sunday, actually, that there was a bit of a turmoil because another one of David's sons stepped in and Adonijah tried to take the throne before it could be secure for Solomon. And that becomes the problem that David and Bathsheba have to work through because he had made her a promise. And we'll see, it's a great Mother's Day message. We're going to see that she's going to hold him to that promise in making Solomon the next king. David's final act of sovereignty was to organize the priests and Levites for their upcoming temple service. And really, that's what we get into for these chapters tonight, chapter 23, 24, and 25. The Levites were numbered from 30 years of age and upward. David revises the minimum age service down to 20 years of age and upward, and we're going to see right here in the very same chapter. So in verse 3, we saw that it was 30 years and upward, but when we get down to verses 24 through 27, in the very same chapter, these were the sons of Levi according to their father's households, even the heads of the father's households, of those of them who were counted in the number of names by their census, doing the work for the service of the house of the Lord from 20 years old and upward. So in certain contexts, you have to be 30 and over. In different contexts, you can begin serving as young as 20 and over, related to these things that we're looking at. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people as he dwells in Jerusalem forever. Also, the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and all its utensils for service." So we realize there's some changes that are taking place. They have a sedentary lifestyle now. They're fixed in the location there in Jerusalem. They're not portable. They're not toting the tabernacle around the wilderness any longer. And so that's an adjustment. And being located in Jerusalem forever, there's an adjustment. So David is just recognizing the reality of how things are different now, that the kingdom is established, that the throne is settled, that the tabernacle the ark has been brought into Jerusalem. And just recognizing that these things are different, David doesn't feel obligated to just keep doing things the way they've always been done. Go ahead and change it up. Go ahead and seek the wisdom of God. Seek the, obviously you're not going to do anything apart from his will or apart from what God approves. But I think it's pretty clear that when circumstances change, spiritual leadership needs to take stock of that and make the appropriate adjustments accordingly. David also divided the Levites into temple workers, officers, and judges, including gatekeepers and musicians. We've got to back up to the top of this again, so we can see verses 4 and 5. So, yeah, there's those that are overseeing the work of the house of the Lord, and obviously all the preparation work before Solomon can build it. There's a lot of groundwork to be done. And then there's officers, there's judges, there's gatekeepers, there's praising the Lord with instruments. And all of that needs organization. The specific Levitical families are listed according to their clans, and that's the bulk of this chapter, starting with verse 6, taking us down through verse 23. So David divided them into divisions according to the sons of Levi, the three broad divisions of the tribe, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites were Ladan and Shimei. So The clan divisions have always been there, but now we have this generation of clan chieftains that head up these particular branches. And the sons of Ladan were Jehiel the first, and Zetham and Joel, three. The sons of Shimei were Shelomoth and Haziel and Haran, three. These were the heads of the father's households of Ladan. The sons of Shimei were Jahath, Zena, Jush, and Beriah. These four were the sons of Shimei. And Jahath was the first, and Ziza the second. But Jush and Beriah did not have many sons, so they became a father's household, one class. Again, flexibility. I think it takes leadership to identify, you know, you don't have that many sons. You're kind of a small little clan here. Let's go ahead and combine them. Let's put them together and have one particular class of Levites under these divisions. The sons of Kohath were four: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. We've seen those names plenty of times. The sons of Amram were Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was set apart to sanctify him as most holy, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to bless his name forever. Remember, we call it the Aaronic priesthood. They were the descendants of Aaron, were the priests. But as for Moses, the man of God, his sons were named among the tribe of Levi. He was the son of Kohath, Aaron, but Moses was not a priest. It was, and Moses and all of his sons were counted as Levites, not counted as priests. The sons of Moses were Gershom and Eleazar. The son of Gershom was Shabul, the chief. The son of Eleazar was Rehabiah, the chief. And Eleazar had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. And the sons of Izhar was Shelomith, the chief. The sons of Hebron were Jeriah the first, Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, Jachamim the fourth. The sons of Uzziel were Micah the first and Ishiah the second. Now, this is a little bit different from previous genealogy listings that we've looked at, specifically because they're getting numbered here in a sequence. They're getting numbered here in a chronological way. And whereas in the past they would just simply be listed and the names would be, you know, understood as being in that order, it wasn't really a big deal. It didn't really matter what order they came in. But for David's reforms, the actual sequence begins to take shape as having a requirement, having a necessity, because he's putting them in courses, he's putting them in divisions, and they're gonna serve in the order that David assigns them to. We'll notice that as well coming up. And by the way, this is not only for the remainder of the entire Old Testament history, but it crosses into the New Testament as well. We're going to see at the birth of John the Baptist that his father was serving in his appointed division. And that goes back to the chapters we're reading here tonight. It goes back to the organization that David assigns for them. All right, then we have the Merarites. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi, my favorite. Mahli and Mushi, and the sons of Mahli were Eleazar and Kish. And Eleazar died and had no sons, but daughters only. So their brothers, the sons of Kish, took them as wives. And the sons of Mushi were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. So these were the sons of Levi, according to their father's households, even the heads of the father's households of those of them who were counted in the number of names by their census, doing the work for the service of the house of the Lord from 20 years old and upward. And we looked at this earlier. The difference between 30 and 20. Also, the Levites will no longer need to carry the tabernacle and all the utensils for its service, for by the last words of David, the sons of Levi were numbered from 20 years old and upward, for their office is to assist the sons of Aaron with the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things, even the work of the service of the household of God. And so really the structure of these Levites, almost like, I guess by analogy, we could think of them as deacons in the church age, whereby you have the spiritual ministry of the local church that's done by the elders, done by the pastors, but then you have deacons that come along to provide the administrative support and the practical support in these ways. With all the showbread and the fine flour for a grain offering and unleavened wafers or what is baked in the pan, or what is well mixed, and all the measures of volume and size. They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and to offer all the burnt offerings to the Lord, and all the Sabbaths, the new moons, the fixed festivals, and the number set by the ordinance concerning them continually before the Lord. So David's not making up their religion. He's not making up their calendar. They're still following everything that's in Leviticus, everything that's in the law. They're still functioning according to what Moses has given them in the law. He's just simply providing the structure, the organization in the divisions of these Levites. Because, I mean, just think about it. Over the hundreds of years that have passed in between Moses and David, how many more Levites are there now, and how much more organization is necessary? So David's making sure that they're structured in this way. All right, so that gets us to the end of chapter 23, on into chapter 24. As he had done with the other Levitical clans, David arranged the Aaronic priesthood into an organized structure, and we'll see how he structures the family of Aaron. The tribe of Levi, clan of Kohath, house of Amram, family of Aaron, was divided into 24 divisions in two primary lines. Again, I'm trying to stress through these notes and through these classes the difference between a tribe and a clan and a house and a family. This is how, you know, the tribes were structured. And if we're alien to that in our modern world, we just need to study it, need to get acclimated to how they were structured. So tribe of Levi, clan of Kohath, house of Amram, family of Aaron. And I think that's a good breakdown to get tribe, clan, house, and family broken down. All right, two primary lines. The line of Eleazar, the line of Ithamar, 16 divisions in the larger line, 8 divisions in the smaller line. So let's look at verses 1 through 6. The divisions of the descendants of Aaron were these. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But, you might recall, Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no sons. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests. And that's what we understand in the record of Mosaic law. David, with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to their offices for their ministry. And so now this is where he's providing the structure, he's providing the organization. And he's not just doing this by fiat, he's consulting with the leading priests of these two main branches, of these two lines. Zadok represents the Eleazar line, and Ahimelech represents the Ithamar line. And so dividing them for their ministry. Since more chief men were found from the descendants of Eleazar than the descendants of Ithamar, they divided them thus. There were 16 heads of the father's households of the descendants of Eleazar and 8 of the descendants of Ithamar according to their father's households. So they take the census, they're counting all these priests, they're counting the heads of the households, they're seeing where they break down, and it just so happens in the lifetime of David that it was roughly 2 to 1, that it was, you know, 16 and 8 as far as these 24 divisions are concerned. And so with the like-mindedness of, hey, this works out, David says, well, why don't we do this? Let's break it down into 24 divisions, okay? 24, 2 times 12, seems to work out pretty well. And Zadok says, okay, that works for me, and Ithamar is good with it. Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar. And so this is how they structure it. Thus they were divided by lot, the one as the other, for they were officers of the sanctuary and officers of God, both from the descendants of Eleazar and the descendants of Ithamar. And so now they have their structure. Now they have their 24 courses or their 24 divisions, and it's going to be assigned by lot as far as a random choice, no favoritism involved. David can't, lift up one and give it special treatment over the others. Everything is selected by lot. All right, verse 6. Shemaiah, the son of Nethanel, the scribe from the Levites, recorded them in the presence of the king, the princes, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and the heads of the father's households of the priests and of the Levites, one father's household taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Now the first lot came out for Jehoiarib, and the second for Jediah, the third for Harim, the fourth for Saorim. If none of these names jump out at you, they are obscure. They are not names that are well known to us necessarily, but maybe they should be. We need to pay more attention to them. One of them in particular will jump out as we get to it. The fifth for Melchijah, the sixth for Mijamim, the seventh for Hakoz, the eighth for Abijah. Now that's the one we got to pay attention to, because this is the one that gets featured in the book of Luke. This is the one that's mentioned in the New Testament when Zacharias is ministering as unto the Lord, when the angel comes to him and tells him that his wife is going to have a baby. The ninth for Jeshua, the tenth for Shechaniah, the 11th for Eliashib, the 12th for Jakim, the 13th for Huppah, the 14th for Jeshabiab, the 15th for Bilga, the 16th for Immer, the 17th for Hezer, the 18th for Happy Zaz. Okay. Happy Zaz. The 19th for Pethahiah, the 20th for Jehezkel, the 21st for Jachin, the 22nd for Gamul, the 23rd for Deliah, the 24th for Maziah. All right, so we got all 24 of them selected by lot. And you know, by the time he got to that final one, Maziah knew that he was last. Don't even have to draw the lot for him. He knows his is the last stone in the bucket. All right. So these were their offices for their ministry when they came into the house of the Lord according to the ordinance given to them through Aaron their father, just as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. So everything that was in the Mosaic law is still operational. It's still how they're going to function. But the order and the sequence and the structure that David puts them to here is absolutely needed. All right. Yes, in the notes that we have in the New Testament, Zechariah ministered in the temple during the appointed time of Abijah. That's the eighth course. And in Luke chapter 1, this is the background for this. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And now we know where that comes from. Now we know where that what was originated. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. And it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division. I mean, keep in mind, his order only comes around every, you know, once every 24 spots. And then when his order comes around, he may not be the one selected. Look how old he is. And now he's finally getting his shot at it. He's finally getting his opportunity. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him to enter within the holy place and to stand before the veil and to minister and to serve all this time. And his lot has just never been drawn until this very night. And the whole people, the multitude of the people, were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right side of the altar of incense. And that must have just scared the willies out of him, just popping in out of nowhere, because he thought he was by himself in there. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Anyway, so that's the background on that. I think we can appreciate that. Additional organization is going to be made concerning the Levites in verses 20 through 31. As for the rest of the sons of Levi, of the sons of Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jediah, of Rabiah, the sons of Rabbiah, Ishiah, the first, of the Izharites, Shelomoth, of the sons of Shelomoth, Jahath, the sons of Hebron, Jeriah, the first, Amariah, the second, Jehaziel, the third, Jechamim, the fourth, of the sons of Uziel, Micah, the sons of Micah, Shamir, the brother of Micah, Ishiah, the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah, the sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi, the sons of Josiah, Bino, the sons of Merari by Josiah were Bino, Shoham, Zachar, and Ibri. By Mali, Eliezer, who had no sons. By Kish, the sons of Kish, Jeremiel, the sons of Mushi, Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their fathers' households. These also cast lots, just as their relatives, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of David the king, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of the father's households, of the priests, of the Levites, the heads of the father's households, as well as those of his younger brother. All right, well, that gets us through chapter 24. I think we can glean as to why 1st and 2nd Chronicles are not the most popular books. Like, you know, when you're tracking with Leviticus and you're still tracking what the 65th and the 64th and the 63rd most popular books of the Bible are, I think we found them. Anyway, don't just blow it off and don't just say, oh, this is boring. This is God-breathed. It's written for our instruction. The fact that God goes into all of this detail is marvelous, because that tells us that he's focused. That tells us that he's not losing track. He's not, maybe our heads are spinning and we've lost track of who some of these guys are, but God knows every single one of them and the number of hairs on their head and everything else that goes into that. All right then, chapter 25, musicians. David organized the Levitical musicians into 24 orders as well. So verses 1 through 31 here of 1 Chronicles 25. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals, and the number of those who performed their service was, of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asherelah. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Now, if most of the names in the previous two chapters are unknown to us, we start to get to more familiar names here in this chapter, because some of these guys get mentioned in the book of Psalms. Some of these guys are the authors of several of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. And so, Asaph should be a name that jumps out at us. Likewise, Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah. 6, under the direction of their father, Jeduthun with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. So these musicians are not just musicians, we say not just musicians, but they have prophetic ministry. They dream dreams, they see visions. Some of these men that we see are not only musicians, but they are seers in David's administration. And so, 6 sons of Jeduthun, and he plays the harp, and he prophesies in giving thanks and praising the Lord. Of Haman, and there's a name we're going to see again. The sons of Haman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shabuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathoth, Gedalti, and Romamtiezer, Josh-Bekashah, Maluthi, Hothir, Mezayoth. All these were the sons of Haman, the king's seer, to exalt him according to the words of God. You know, David himself was a music guy. He surrounds himself with other music guys. David prophesied. He surrounds himself with other prophets. I mean, just imagine what this administration must have been like. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Haman were under the direction of the king. And the number who were trained in singing to the Lord with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. We're going to see this broken down into the different clans here shortly. All right. So yes, the sons of Asaph, Haman, and Jeduthun, Levitical musicians for Israel. These musicians provided appropriate worship before the Lord. These musicians delivered prophetic messages to the people. So it's not just an emotional thing. It's not just getting the crowd whipped up. This, the actual content of the messages of what they're revealing, that the lyrics of these songs are supposed to be full of doctrine, supposed to be full of content. And in their case, prophetic content. Things that are being revealed through these scriptures. I hope when we introduce this era, when we introduce this segment of the Through the Bible series, I pointed out how the canon of scripture itself was just being expanded, going beyond the Pentateuch, going beyond the historical record of Joshua and Judges, and actually getting now into the Psalms and the Proverbs and the branch of the canon that's not just Torah. We're getting to the Ketuvim, the writings, and the prophets. It is absolutely significant that prophetic utterance is being spoken to reveal these things. All right, so 4 Asaph divisions, 6 Jeduthun divisions, 17 Haman divisions, all totaling 288 musicians under the direction of the king, with their order of service also being determined by lot. So they cast lots for their duties, all alike, the small as well as the great, the teacher as well as the pupil. Now the first lot came out for Asaph, to Joseph, the second for Gedaliah. He with his relatives and sons were 12. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, if you want to ask me why, I'll say I don't know. Okay? But every one of these musical divisions went ahead and structured themselves into a group of 12. What do you call a group of 12? A dodecatet. Something, right? It's a group of 12. All of them. So the first lot to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, he with his relatives and sons were 12. The third to Zakur, his sons and his relatives, 12. The fourth to Isri, his sons and his relatives, 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, his sons and his relatives, 12. Okay? So it becomes very obvious right off the bat that if you're going to put a musical group together under David's organization, you better find 12 guys, okay, that you're related to. 12 guys in your clan, 12 guys in your family group. And if you have more than that, then you can, you know, you can trim it down. Make sure you have 12. If you have less than that, you better scrounge up a few extras because you're going to have 12. This is going to be structured according to 12 for whatever reason. The seventh to Jeshurelah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 11th to Azarel, his sons and his relatives, 12. And the 12th to Hashabiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 13th, Shubael, his sons and his relatives, 12. Something else, notice these are all male names. These are all sons. These are all male names. Now, whether, you know, they had assistance from the female Levites, whether they had, you know, the girls that were dancing and doing the cymbals and things like in Miriam's day, that's not spelled out here. All of these names are male names. Where did I leave off? 16th, Hananiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. 17th, to Joshbekashah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 19th, to Malothi, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 20th, to Eliathah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 21st, to Hother, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 22nd, to Gidalti, his sons and his relatives, 12. To the 23rd, to Mahazioth, his sons and his relatives, 12. And to the 24th, to Romamti-Ezer, his sons and his relatives, 12. All right, so there's the list of them. All right, and so those are the chapters. Like I said, not a lot of material and not a lot, I didn't think we would fill the whole hour with this. So let's go ahead. I'm going to follow up with a couple of items and then take any questions that you have, and we'll just see what else the Lord has for us tonight. I shared something last night from the website, and boy, did that spark some questions on email. So let me go back to that. I keep forgetting that beyond what we have here. All right. AustinBibleChurch.com. This is the main church website, but it's not the main Through the Bible website. Okay? That's what this is all about, Through the Bible 2022. And so I shared something last night that came from the church website that didn't come from this one. You can do either one, okay? Whatever works for you, whatever you like. We're not making you do this. If you don't want to do this, don't do this. But if you find it convenient to use it, then use it. Hopefully, in fact, let me go ahead and put both of these up here side by side. Not that. Here we go. So, as far as the printed notes are concerned, okay, I pointed out that when you go to the Through the Bible link on the church website, this is the traditional church website before we ever had a TTB website. This is where all of our MP3s are sitting here minding their MP3 business. This is for MP3 audio, okay, not YouTube video, but just MP3 audio. This is where a lot of folks do podcasting, and this is where they subscribe to get their stream for whatever they're doing. And I know a little bit about how this works. Adam or some of the tech people can tell you a whole lot more about how some of this stuff works. If you have and I don't think it matters if you're an Apple guy or an Android or whatever you have, as long as you have a podcast, what you need to do is you need to subscribe to the RSS feed. That's all I know. You subscribe to the RSS feed, and that's what this link is here for. This link is so you can subscribe to the RSS feed. And so just, yeah. What's that? I can't hear what you're saying. I'm sorry.
When you click on that link,
yeah, so when you click on this link, it's going to give you a page full of gibberish. Okay? And this is a bunch of code that means nothing except to tech people. Okay? And honestly, click it and then pretend you're not even reading it, pretend you're not even looking at it, but just come up here to this URL. Notice this URL at the top, it ends with rss.xml. Okay? That's where the magic comes in. This is what you want to copy. So austinbiblechurch.com/podcast/topic/, you know, through the Bible, whatever, whatever. Just copy that. Highlight it, right-click it, copy it. That's the URL link that you need. That's the shortcut you need. And in fact, you don't even have to open it. If you want, you can just come right here and right-click it and copy the link address from there. That way you just have the URL on your clipboard. Go into your podcast software, paste it in there, because it's going. Your podcast software wants to know, where's the RSS feed for this podcast? This is how you tell it where the feed is. And you paste it in there, and you should be set after that, whatever your podcast software is. Okay? I'm the worst person to explain this, because I don't podcast myself. Okay? I don't podcast anybody. I hate my voice. I don't listen to myself. All right. Yes.
Uh-huh. And you went up to maybe the 9:30 service and you clicked on a link to get all of these outlines that did you click a particular one? Did you go back a page?
It doesn't really matter.
So you clicked on the 9:30 to the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what day or which day.
No, this year it makes no difference whatsoever.
So
on
you got up a list of all the outlines, but it didn't pull that up for me. And I clicked on the same thing you did.
Well, I'll try it again. We'll see. Yeah, in normal years, when you're at the front on the church website, you're going to have a Genesis class, you're going to have a Proverbs class, you're going to have a, some other class, whatever else, Galatians or whatever else we're teaching. And so choosing a Sunday morning or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or Thursday night, in most other years, it does make a difference. This year, all these links go to the same place. All these links go to the Through the Bible page. And you'll notice there's 126 MP3s sitting there. When we finish with tonight, 127 will get added to the top. And every time we add one. Now, when you scroll down to the bottom of those MP3s, there's going to be 20 MP3s on every page. But then beneath the MP3s, this is where we have PDF documents. And so some of the printed notes are available here. And this is what was bothering some people that emailed me. I'm just trying to give options to people. So depending on what you like, what you're doing, these are available for you to print, to read, and whatnot. It's the same notes as if you're here, the very same outlines. So if you're on the TTB website and you're viewing the reading plan here, and you're looking at, today's date, May 5th, or tonight, May 7th, here we go, 1 Chronicles 23 through 25. Just pick that, here's the page for day 127 for May 7th, there's the video, there's the outline, okay? They're the same exact notes. They're different format. These are a lot larger. Some people prefer to highlight that, copy it, go put it somewhere in a file, come back and copy this. Some people are copying one chapter at a time. Okay? Great. Knock yourself out. Some people are copying the whole day's worth. But it doesn't matter whether you're looking at those notes or you're looking at these notes. This is just the combined PDF that Warren Dow did for Grace Notes. He took 7 days worth and combined them into a single note file, to a single PDF document. And a lot of people prefer this. They prefer this because it's less paper. And so, for example, this is 9 pages, and you can print them front and back and get them on 5 sheets of paper. And it's making for a more streamlined approach to the notebooks you have up on your shelf at the house or whatever else you're doing with it. Okay? Some people love paper. Some people don't want paper at all. They just want electronic versions and PDFs and whatever else they're doing. So anyway, my point last night in showing this page here with all of these outlines was not to confuse the people, and I think I've just made a big mess of it, and I probably made it even worse tonight. So I'll get more emails from people. Also, the canonical and calendar sorted index of Psalms. I wanted people to know where that was. So I demonstrated where that could be found. And then evidently it was a terrible demonstration because people were emailing me saying, send me the document. So, all right. That's where that can be found. Should I show you the third place where they can be found? Some people are subscribed to Grace Notes. So, Grace Notes Bible Training. And a lot of folks, in fact, Warren's got more subscribers than we do on our YouTube channel. He's got thousands of them all over the world. And so the Grace Notes courses, here's Through the Bible in 2022. And for folks that are subscribed to that, those are the same documents that are on the church website. Okay, you don't need all three. Pick the one that you like. Pick the one that works for you. Pick the one that, and if you want to subscribe to Grace Notes, and you get a quiz every Friday, you get to take a quiz at the end of the material. All right. Well, that's as best as I can explain it. Somebody else wanted to know about the YouTube channel. That's this purple button here, YouTube Live Stream and Archive. I realized last week we caused some trouble because I got sick. And so we weren't streaming on the exact schedule that was on the Through the Bible website. So we had some adjustments, and Christine put a little pop-up on there to say, try to relax, try to be flexible. We're not streaming on the exact schedule last week. Well, hopefully now we're back to normal again. Anyway, this is youtube.com, Austin Bible Church videos, and anybody on the planet can find this. Just go to YouTube and search for Austin Bible Church videos and subscribe. You know, just click on the subscribe button there. See, I'm already subscribed. And then click the notification bell, so when a new video gets posted, you get a notification. And then everything will be uploaded here. When it goes live, and you'll see it here. And this is where we have our playlist. This is where not only do we have the Through the Bible material, but the Logos software training that we're doing on Monday nights. That's getting posted here as well. Even we had a guest speaker on Sunday. Glenn Carnegie covered for me on Sunday with 2 Sunday morning messages. And so those YouTube videos are there as well. All right, so is that helpful? A little bit? More confusing than not? All right. My spiritual gift does not include explaining technology. If anything, it's a thorn in my flesh that fails to explain technology. Every time I try to explain it, I'm ready to go back to the first century and start writing on scrolls. All right. Well then. Any final questions? Any final thoughts? Yes, sir?
All the rituals and the laws and that the Jews had and all these names,
mm-hmm.
when we get into the
So all of the rituals, all of the laws, everything that Israel had in the Old Testament, does all that come back in the millennium? Yes, it does, and more. Yes, it does, and more. In fact, not only do they have Mosaic law, they're going to have kingdom law, as Jesus adds mental attitudes to the external deeds. So there is, they're going to have sacrifices. They're going to have the Passover. They're going to have Feast of Trumpets. They're going to have all of the ritual that they had in the Old Testament and more in the millennial kingdom.
What will the brides, what will be our
Well, we're not Israel.
Right.
Yeah, we're the bride of Christ. We are in Christ. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we need to get the microphone on there.
Okay, what will the function of the bride of Christ be in the millennium?
We will reign with Christ. We will be with Christ. But as far as the specific details of what is our part, the part that we play in the ritual, the Bible doesn't tell us.
Okay.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't tell us at all. So if you want to find out about animal ritual in the millennium, you're going to read Ezekiel 40 through 48. But there's no church in Ezekiel 40 through 48. So the church is a mystery as it's not revealed in the Old Testament. So we have a little bit of this, we have a little bit of that, and we put the things together, but the Bible doesn't tell us with all the details of all the questions that maybe we want to know.
Okay.
So
we just know we'll be with Christ wherever he is.
We will be with Christ. Let me give you that. Here's one of my favorite passages. If I can type tonight, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. That's my answer. What will we be doing? We're going to be with the Lord. Okay? You want more than that? That's all I see right there, okay?
Okay.
I could make something up, but I can't, I can't make it up.
Let us know when we get there.
Right, well, yeah, we'll find out when we get there. I do know, though, we're being prepared for that now. We will rule this world. We will judge the angels. There are other passages that talk about things that we will do, but not with a specificity. So put a gun to my head and make me prove whether we will judge angels in the millennium or after the millennium, on this earth or the new earth, okay? And I can't prove one or the other on that. And so many of the things that we have to look forward to, we don't have that specificity. Are we talking millennium or are we talking post-millennial? We're talking the fullness of time in the new heavens and on the new earth. And so that's going to require some additional study as well.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm not answering all these questions
here.
Fine. I will say, though, this, we shall always be with the Lord, really bugs me when people deny that that's what it means or that's what it says, or they try to divide the bride and they say only part of the bride gets raptured or part of the bride is going to miss the millennium and all the loser Christians are going to be out there in the outer darkness with the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's just insane, okay? If you're reading somebody that's telling you that, just chuck it, okay? Because Jesus doesn't take a partial bride with him to glory. It says, thus we shall always be with the Lord. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The bride is complete and the bride is always complete from that moment forward. And I appreciate that. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right, well, it's 10 minutes early, but I'm tired. Okay. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the COVID recovery you provided. Pray that you continue to provide. pray as we continue to move forward, Father, in your grace, by your mercy. We thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.